There are love partnerships, both fiction and history, that literature has immortalized. Romeo and Juliet belong to fiction. Anthony and Cleopatra belong to history. And it helps that Shakespeare wrote about both partnership. And both these stories, by the way, ended in tragedy. Still, tragedy or otherwise, love still is a favorite theme of literature as well as of motion picture. It is, after all, the one theme to which people around the world can relate. Not espionage, though I like espionage, I don't think people can relate to espionage, or other things that other people may like, but the universal theme to which people around the world can relate is that of love. Ang tema na makakarugtong ang mga tao sa lahat ng dako ng mundo ay tema ng pag-ibig. But let me tell you, there is no love story greater than that of God's love for sinners that resulted in redemption. It is such a great story of God's love, and the question that we ask is, if we know that greatness of God's love, how should the redeemed respond to it? Well, the only corresponding reciprocation of love is to love in return. And the question we are asking in this brief series is, are you a lover of God? Ikaw ba'y umiibig sa Diyos? Mahalagang isipin natin yan, suriin sa ating sarili. Maaring sanay tayo mag-isip na ako ay lingkod ng Diyos, ako ay tagasunod ng Diyos. Ngunit ang tanong dito ay, ikaw ba'y umiibig sa Diyos? Ikaw ba'y mangingibig ng Diyos? The best reason for that concern, as we saw last week, is that it is the greatest commandment. Love to God is the greatest of the commandments of God. But now the question we face is, how do we know that we are truly the lovers of God that we ought to be? Do we measure that by the depth of emotion? After all, this is February, and there is this Cupid image of the idea of love, something that hits emotionally. Well, that something which they call love as something that hits can wreak havoc in many relations. Well, fortunately, the scriptures give us a certainty of evidences as a measurement of love to God. Nagbigay ang kasulatan ng mga panukat, ng mga ebidensya na tiyak na makapagsasabi sa atin kung tayo ay tunay na umiibig sa Diyos. My passages will come from the same letter of John in his first letter. Turn to 1 John, first in chapter 2. First John chapter 2, let's read verses 3 to 6. 1 John 2, 3 to 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Then same letter, chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Then the last passage is chapter 5, also of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. While this is called a letter of John, it does not have some of the regular characteristics of a letter. There is no address, no name mentioned. Kung ito'y talagang liham, liham dapat ito kung kanino, pero walang ganyan dito sa unang sulat ni Juan. And because of that, many hold that this is more like a long tract than a letter. And the dominant substance of this material is polemical. That is, it is showing what is wrong. Pinapakita yung mga kamalian. And yet, it has a very pastoral concern for his reader's good because he states his purpose of writing in this way. 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. So kanyang sinabi yung kanyang layunin ng pagsulat, may kinalaman sa pagbibigay ng katiyakan that you may know that you have eternal life. It is establishing assurance of salvation amidst abounding deceptions and apostasy sa kalawakan at kasagkakaramihan ng mga pandaraya nung panahong yun, mga maling turo at mga tumatalikod na. Gusto ni Juan na magbigay ng pagtitiyak sa kanyang mga bumabasa, and he marshals those things that accompany true saving grace. And what he is doing is sifting truth from error and deceit. Hinihimay niya ano yung katotohanan, ano yung dapat ingatan na kamalian at pandaraya. And among those that establishes the assurance of salvation is love to God. But in order that there may be no deception, he tests what genuine love to God is. And this is my message. There are certain evidences of the believer's love to his God as basis of assurance. May mga tiyak na mga ebidensya ang pag-ibig sa Diyos ng mananampalataya bilang batayan ng katiyakan. There are certain evidences of the believer's love to his God as basis of assurance. And one thing you will like in John's letter is that he has a pattern of statements. He makes assertions that may be expected of a true believer. And he often uses the expression, by this we know. At kapag sinabi niyo, sa pamamagitan nito, nalalaman natin, it is an assertion. And then he makes a series of examinations to take the claim of salvation, and he verifies them. There is the pattern of he who says, or he who is, and then he would put it to the test of certain evidences. Now, this is what he does to the claim of love to God. He says, he who says he loves God, these are the tests. These are the evidences. And I have two. One, keeping the commandments of the word and serving the brethren of the church. Ano ang panukat sa umaangkin ng pag-ibig sa Diyos? Ang panukat ni Juan, una ay pagsunod sa mga kautusan ng salita at paglilingkod sa kapatiran ng iglesia. Keeping the commandments of the word and serving the brethren of the church. So let us consider the first test for John. The first certain evidence is keeping the commandments of the word. Listen to his assertion. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. That is an assertion. Sinasabi niya, ito ang katotohanan. Malalaman natin na tayo ay nakakakilala sa kanya kapag tinutupad natin ang kanyang mga kautusan. Then he refers to a claim. Whoever says, I know him, he puts it to the test of evidence to belie it. He says, whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. If you fall short of that, it is not love to God. So we are being taught here that love to God will certainly move to obey the commandments of the word. Ang pag-ibig sa Diyos ay tiyak na magkikilos sa atin sa pagsunod sa mga kautusan ng Diyos. Now, in the richness of God's word, God has been pleased to mix a variety of forms in the word of God. And you may have your preferences. You are interested in some particular forms of the word. Some prefer the stories and narratives. Oh, I love the stories of the Bible. I have books in my library just to make sure I'm accurate with the stories of the Bible because of my natural fondness for history. So I'm interested in the stories and the narratives of the Bible, and perhaps you are, and your response to them is enjoyment. Natutuwa ka sa mga istorya, mga salaysay ng Biblia, maganda yon. It is right to enjoy Bible stories. Besides being true and authentic, they are redemptive history, not like any other stories of literature. Others who are intellectually bent may prefer teachings, theology, doctrines. And your response is knowledge. You enjoy knowing the teachings of the Bible. And I am one who enjoy the teachings of the Bible. You know me well enough to know how seriously I take the doctrines of the Scriptures. They are dear to me. Now, still others have keen eyes on the memorable quotations of the Bible. And I wish more Christians can just recite memory verses when confronted with any situation in life. Eh, makaka-recite agad sila ng memory verse. Magandang ugali yun. Magandang linangin natin. Yang meron tayo mga biblical quotations, biblical language has enriched the literature of the world, and it is a rich source of memorable quotations. Again, a good habit to develop. One may like the promises of the word, and when you are confronted with promises, you respond with trust. You are inspired by these promises. And oh, may we learn to make use more of his, what Peter calls, precious and very great promises. Learn them. Trust the promises of God. So we have all this mix of forms of the word. But John does not put the test of love in the way you enjoy stories, in the way you trust promises, in the way you can cite quotations left and right from the Scriptures. The test of love to God is the word coming to us in the form of commandments requiring obedience. Ang pagsubok, ang panukat ng pag-ibig sa Diyos, hindi na nasasayahan ka sa mga kwento ng Biblia, hindi dahil sa nahahamon ka ng mga pangako ng Biblia, hindi dahil na gagala ka sa mga katuruan ng Biblia, lahat ng yun ay mabuting bagay. Ngunit dito sinukat ni Juan, ang pag-ibig sa Diyos ay nasusukat sa mga kautusan ng salita. The commandments of the word, the test of love to God is obedience to the commandments. And so inflexible is this idea for John that he becomes sharp in his language. He says, he who does not keep his commandments is a liar. Now, that sounds indecent. It grates into our ears, but that only shows how inflexible John is as to the test of love to God. Enjoy the promises? Sure. Enjoy the stories? Do that. But you say you love God? Here is the test. How do you obey the commandments of the Lord? So learn doctrine, trust the promises, learn the history, but they are not the proof of love to God. God chose as proof that you deal with his commandments. And dealing with his commandments means obedience. The challenge of obedience. Not simply to know, not simply to enjoy, but obey. And here we need to restore the status of the word as commandment. And the Christian life is obedience. Kailangan nating ipanumbalik ang katayuan ng salita na dumarating sa atin bilang utos. At kung utos, tayo ay tagasunod. In the time of John, there were already teachers moving about in the churches, influencing Christians to looseness of living. And if that was so then, it is so much more so today. And under their treatment, the word has been emptied of commandments. Everything is now promise of blessing. And all that Christians are asked to do is claim the promise rather than obedience. But true love to God will encounter the word and will look for those parts that are commandments. And no matter how difficult, love will move you to obey the difficult commandments. You may be familiar with Romeo and Juliet, and probably the most famous scene is where Romeo climbed the wall in order to have a loving confrontation with Juliet. And the famous window scene had Romeo saying these words: "With love's light wings did I perch these walls, for stony limits cannot hold love out, and what love can do, that dares love attempt." So here is why Romeo climbed those walls, no matter the danger and the risk: love. And when you see the wall of commandment that perhaps is forbidding, perhaps something that makes it difficult for you emotionally, physically, intellectually, and yet love will climb that wall. So the challenge to us is follow the pattern of Jesus' obedience to the commandments, moved by love. This is how John concludes this section. "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Who is that he? It is not mentioned, but although unnamed, the reference can be no other than the Lord Jesus. It's going back to 1:1. "He who we have heard." So it's how you have heard and have observed the Lord Jesus. There are many ways of looking to Jesus as an example. His readiness to suffer, his compassion, all those are examples to us. But one word used as summary of his life, Philippians 2:8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. If there is one word to summarize the life of Jesus, obedient. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. So John must have been reminded here of the words of the Lord Jesus in the upper room discourse, for he was there after all. In the upper room discourse, Jesus said this in John 15:10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So you are looking to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He was abiding in the love of God. How do you know that? Not by depth of emotion. How do you know that Jesus was in love with his Father? He obeyed his commandments. So we have the perfect pattern of love obedience in Jesus Christ. Measure your professed love to God by your committed obedience to the commandments. Warm your obedience by refreshing your love to God in the mediation of the Lord Jesus. Andrew Bonner had a long ministry until his death in 1892, serving the same church. And one of the principles that guided him, one of the more quotable statements of Andrew Bonner, he said this: "The best part of all Christian work is the part which only God sees." The best part is that which only God sees. And God sees the heart that is in love to him. And when we test that love is tested by obedience to commandments. So I challenge you, what is the forbidding commandment as far as you are concerned? What is that commandment that becomes to you a wall to climb? Not a commandment that you can just take easily, like one step, but a wall. Now, would you perch that wall out of love? This is the first certain test, keeping the commandments of the word. And then secondly, serving the brethren of the church. And again, we have here an assertion in chapter 3. "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren." The pattern of Jesus that is made to bear on the believer is that he laid down his life for the sheep. And now, if you are truly in love to God, you lay down your life for the sheep as well. And John belies any professed love to God that will not be matched by active love to the brethren. So here we learn that love to God will certainly overflow into service of the brethren. Ang pag-ibig sa Diyos ay tiyak na dadaloy sa paglilingkod sa kapatiran. So I chose the hymn, Channels Only. If we are filled with God's love, it's not that we just return that love to God and it becomes a two-way traffic of intercourse between you and God alone. No, love to God will overflow into service of the brethren. So here, the letter of John clearly assumes the setting of a church life. That is where he expects the followers of Christ to be in the church, interacting and intersecting in ways that will challenge the response of love. If you think love means being so emotionally caught up in multicolored experience of something high, John is saying, no, it is on the ground. It is on the ground in which you walk mud with fellow sinners. And you have to exercise patience. You have to exercise understanding, meekness. In fact, here, John assumes a case. I suspect, not hypothetical. A case of a brother in need. And how does this brother respond? The description of John is of an internal response. He closes his heart against him. It's like a door slammed. John finds this even more unacceptable. If we recoil from the word he used earlier, you're a liar, brace up for the word he used. He says, if everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, hate here is not in the sense of the brother actively seeking harm on the one in need. It's simply failure to care. And the failure to care, already to John, is an incipient, a hidden act of murder. So here then is a certain measurement of professed love to God. Service of brethren that lays down something. And this is what has caught the attention of the early centuries on the gatherings of Christians. One pagan wrote of it, "Oh, how they love one another." It is Chinese New Year today. Did you know that Binondo is the oldest Chinatown in Asia, known for their community life? But I refuse to believe that Chinese do it better than Christians should. For the community life is what has characterized Christians from early on. Ang buhay bilang komunidad, ang buhay bilang katawan ni Kristo, ang siyang karakter at katangian ng mga Kristiyano mula pa ng umpisa. Kaya tanggapin natin ang hamon ni Juan, "Let your love be not mere talk, but indeed and in truth." That's what John says. Huwag mong hayaang ang pag-ibig mo ay salita lang na walang gawa at katotohanan. John does not say what is the talk of the brother who failed to love the one in need. But we have some idea from James. In James 2:15 and 16, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that?" Put the most sympathetic tone possible to the words, "Go in peace. God bless you. We'll pray for you. We'll think about you." But no concrete care that is unacceptable. And our passage in 5:1 and following combine together this keeping of God's commandments and serving the brethren. They intersect. Nagkakasalubong sila yung pag-ibig sa kapatid, ang pagsunod sa kautusan ng Diyos. Listen to John, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. Do you notice the intersection? Because earlier, he says we love God when we love the brethren. Here, we love the brethren when we love God. They are so intersecting that you cannot have one without the other. Magkasama silang palagi. And John adds, which explains the role of love, he says his commandments are not burdensome. This is what love makes of the commandments of God. Whether pertaining to worship or to brethren, it is not burdensome when there is love. Without love, one may still obey, even with heroic sacrifice. But at one point, he will break from the sheer burden. So examine the place of love to your obedience and in your service of the brethren. And there is no better way to begin than back to the demonstration of God's love to us at the cross. At the cross, John summarized it as laying down his life for us. And when we are refreshed by what Christ has done, He laid down His life. Kanyang ibinuwis ang kanyang buhay para sa kaligtasan ng mga mananampalataya sa Kanya. Wala kang kaligtasan maliban doon sa ginawa ni Jesucristo. Huwag kang umasa sa ginagawa mo sa simbahan. Huwag kang umasa sa ginagawa mo sa kapwa-tao. Huwag kang umasa sa pagtupad ng panata. Huwag kang umasa sa kabutihan. Ang tanging paraan upang tayo tanggapin ng Diyos sa kaligtasan ay ang ginawa ni Jesucristo ng kanyang ibigay ang kanyang buhay bilang kahalili, at sa harap ng Diyos tayo ay iharap niya na nasagot ang ating suliranin sa batas ng Diyos. Yan lamang ang paraan. Ngunit ang ginawa na yun ng Panginoon para sa kaligtasan, dumarating ngayon sa mananampalataya bilang halimbawa, bilang huwaran. Kung anong ginawa niya, gawin mo ngayon para sa kapatiran. What Jesus did, laying down His life for the sheep, now you do yourself. It may not be life that you lay down, but you have to lay down something. And no matter how difficult to love your brother and sister may be, how do you think you are to God? Do you think you are better to God than your brother is to you? I think not. So do not measure your love to God by how much you understand the doctrine of electing love. It's commands. It's brethren. Those are the certain measurement. But one comforting thought, these measurements are so accessible to us that we can know outright in the process of intersecting in the church whether we keep the commandments or we serve the brethren. They are so accessible. They are so day-to-day. What if God said, I will test your love by an annual pilgrimage to a far distant holy place, which other religions do. But that's not what God said He will test our love by. He will test it day by day, because day by day there are commandments to obey, and day by day there are brethren to serve. That's how our love to God is going to be measured. C.S. Lewis rightly said, there is no hunger in God for your love. God is sufficient in the trinity of His persons. He is not hungering for love. Instead, He is plenteousness, desiring to share. Test your love by that. Is there plenteousness in you, desiring to share, that you become channel of blessing? So we all have a daily measurement of the reality and the quality of our love to God. Not emotion, not depth of feeling, not spectacular experiences, but rather the daily challenge of surmounting a wall of commandment and walking into the mud of service to our brethren. How do you love God? By those tests. Let us sing our last hymn. If you will respond correctly to this challenge, then we should be conscious of how short we fall. And yet, there is always that daily resolve that we shall do better by the grace of God. So we have not known thee as we ought. We have not feared thee as we ought. We have not loved thee as we ought. We have not served thee as we ought. And yet, towards the end of prayer, Lord, may we day by day prepare to see thy face and serve thee there. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos, sa abing inaangking pag-ibig sa iyo ay nagbigay ka ng mga panukat. Hindi namin maaring gamitin ang sarili naming inaangking panukat sapagkat wala ito sa damdamin, wala sa mga pananalita. Sa aming pinag-aralang mga talata, maliwanag na ang mga tiyak na panukat ay nasa pagsunod sa iyong mga kautusan at sa paglilingkod sa kapatiran. Father, may we not dodge the direct spotlight of your word upon us. What your word is to us may be enjoyed by us as stories, perhaps challenge and inspire us through the promises, and challenge us intellectually through doctrines, and all those things are good. Yet the test of love you determine to be in obedience to your commandments. And some of those commandments are like walls to us, forbidding, and something we find difficult to surmount. And yet it is love that will mount that wall and enable us to obey. We have an example in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we who claim to love our God must walk in the same way that Jesus walked. His life was a life of obedience, and so must our life be. Grant that we may therefore use this test to spotlight upon our claim of love to you. And another evidence is serving the brethren of the church. True love to God will lay down one's life and whatever it is required of us for the brethren. So grant that it may truly spill over to the way we serve our brethren, and let our love be not mere talk, but in deed and in truth. And may we take it seriously as John takes this issue seriously. May we see those opportunities of the exercise of love, and it is none in how we feel. It is none in how we talk. It is in how we obey and in how we serve. Grant then that we may have plenteous grace from your bounty, that we may truly love you in the certain measurement of obedience and of service, like our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.